Hello and welcome to the Hermetic Science Magical Mind Academy podcast. Give or take a few words. The Hermetic Science Magic Mind. The Hermetic Science Magical Mind. It all works. Whatever makes you remember this. All right, so we're going to continue. My name is Tanya Scott, and we are continuing on with our podcast and our learning in the theory of Hermetic Science and alchemy. So the next section in this theory is the human being. So we're going to go dive pretty deep into this one today, and this is actually pretty impressive because at this point it starts letting you see that we are a small reflection and mirror of what the big galaxy is outside of us. So we are the same as the galaxy that we live in, and the things that we're learning. So we'll get more into that later, I'm sure. So the human being, the body. Let's get into it. The human being, the body. The true image of God is the human being who has been created in the image of the universe. Everything that can be found in the universe on a large scale is reflected in a human being on a small scale. That is why a human being is called the microcosm, in contrast to the universe, the macrocosm. In reality, the whole course of nature takes place in a human being, and it is a task of this chapter to teach the student to learn, to observe, to know, and to master this. I will not describe the physical processes in the human body, since one can find these in literature relevant to the subject. Instead, I will teach you how to observe the human being from the Hermetic point of view, and enlighten those who are interested in how to make proper use of the fundamental key, the effects of the elements, in respect to the human beings. A well-known proverb states, "A sound mind in a sound body." The profound truth which is contained in these words will become very clear to everyone when studying the human being. The question will certainly arise, what is health from the Hermetic point of view? Not everybody will be in a position to answer this question immediately, because most human beings will explain the question of health from an entirely individual point of view. However, from the Hermetic viewpoint, health is considered to be a complete harmony of the energies that work in the body in respect of the fundamental attributes of the elements. It is not a necessity that a severe disharmony of the elements must prevail in order to trigger a visible effect, which is called an ailment. Disharmony in the form of a disease is already a vital disturbance in the workplace of the elements in the body. Therefore, it is a prerequisite that the aspiring initiate devote his entire attention to the body. The external visible appearance of the body resembles a beautiful garment, and beauty, with all its aspects, is, by and large and down to the smallest detail, also an aspect of divine nature. Basically, beauty is not only that which pleases us or is sympathetic to us, because sympathy and antipathy depend upon the reciprocal action of the elements. True health is a prerequisite for spiritual ascent. Should we wish to live in beautiful surroundings, then we must arrange our apartment, our house, or in this instance, our body, beautifully and harmoniously. The elements have to perform particular functions in the body in accordance with the universal law. In principle, the elements are constructive, preserving, and decomposing. The positive part in the body, the one in which is constructive, is the positive or active part of the elements. the preserving or equilibrating part is accomplished by the connecting part of the elements, which is the neutral part, and the decomposing or deteriorating part in the body is conducted by the negative attributes of the elements. Therefore, to the fiery principle in its active form with its electric fluid is assigned the active, constructive, and expansive activity, and the opposite is assigned to its negative form. The watery principle in its active form influences the constructive activities, and in its negative form, the decomposing activities of all the liquids in the body. The air principle is given the task of regulating the electric fluid of the fire and magnetic fluid of the water in the body and keeping them in equilibrium. It is therefore denoted as the neutral or mediating element. As has been mentioned in the fundamental key in regards to the energies of the earth principle has a task of keeping the effects or activities of all three elements together in the body. The earth element principle in its active form is stimulating, strengthening, constructive, preserving, etc. In its negative form, it is the opposite. The development as well as the aging of the body is subject to the earth principle. Many other analogies in regards to the effects of the elements in the body could be cited, but for the time being, these explanations should suffice. Since the beginning of time, initiates have never written about the effects of the elements in detail, perhaps to prevent any misuse, although the effects were well known to them. They divided the human body into three fundamental concepts, assigning the head to the fire principle, the abdomen to the water principle, and the chest to the air principle as a mediating principle between fire and water. It is obvious how accurate they were with this arrangement of the human body, because everything that is active, everything that is fiery, takes place in the head. In the abdomen, however, the opposite takes place. That is the watery principle, the elimination, the activities of the liquids, etc. The chest is subject to air and has at the same time a mediating function, since breathing takes place there mechanically. Earthy principle, with its cohesion, the energy that keeps everything together, essentially represents the entire human body with its bones and flesh. Now the question might arise, how and in which manner will the Akasha or ether principle show itself in the physical or material body? One who deeply contemplates on this will be able to answer this question by himself, namely, that the etheric principle is concealed in its coarsest physical or material form in the blood and in the semen, and in the reciprocal activity of those two substances in the vital substance or vitality. We have learned that the fiery elements produces the electrical fluid in the body, and the watery element, the magnetic fluid. Each of these fluids has two polar rays, the active and the passive, and the mutual influences and reciprocal actions of all four polar emanations resemble the tetrapolar magnet, which is identical to the mystery of the tetragrammaton, the yad-heh-vah-heh of the Kabbalist. However you say it. I say Kabbalist. That is why the electromagnetic fluid in the human body and its outward emanation is called the life magnetism or vital magnetism. The odd, it is also known by the other names. The right side of the human body is active electric, and the left side is passive magnetic when it comes to right-handed person. A left-handed person has the opposite polarities. The intensity of the emanation of the electromagnetic fluids depend upon one's capacity, in other words. It depends upon the intensity of the activities of the elements in the body. The more soundly and harmoniously these activities of the elements unfold in the human body, the more intense is the emanation. With the help of particular exercises, as well as the right attitude and the exact consideration of these laws, one may either increase or decrease the capacity strength and power of effect of this electromagnetic fluid or aught as necessity demands. The manner by which this is accomplished will be described in the practical part of this book. The electric and magnetic fluids in the human body have nothing directly to do with common electricity and magnetism. They are, however, analogous. The law of analogy is a very important factor in the Hermetic sciences, and having this knowledge will enable the aspiring initiate to achieve great miracles with this key. When it comes to nourishment, the elements contained therein are intermixed. The intake of these elements bring about a chemical process through which the elements in our bodies remain preserved. The intake of any kind of nourishment together with breathing calls forth, from the medical point of view, a combustive process. The Hermetic sees in this combustive process much more than just a chemical procedure. He sees the reciprocal dissolution of nourishment. Similar to a fire that is kept aflame by burnable substances, that is why the entire life depends upon the continuous supply of burnable substances. That is, from nourishment and through breathing. A supply of various kinds of nourishment which contain the fundamental substances of the elements is advisable, so that every element receives the necessary substances for its preservation. If we were dependent throughout our entire lives upon one kind of nourishment, our bodies would definitely become ill. That is, a disharmony would be caused in the body. Through the decomposition of nourishment and air, the elements are supplied with the substances that maintain them, and their activity is also sustained in this matter. That is the natural way of life for a human being. Should one or another element lack the necessary energy substance or fuel, there would be an immediate reaction. This lack manifests itself in the functions which are affected by it. For example, when the fire element in the body reaches a higher level of effectiveness due to a lack of nourishment among other elements, we feel thirsty. When the air element becomes more effective, we feel hungry. When the water element becomes more effective, we feel cold. When the earth element becomes more effective, we feel tired. A satiation of the elements in the body calls forth intensified effects in the particular area. Should there be preponderance of the body, should there be a preponderance of the fire element, the body feels a yearning for movement and activity ensues. Should there be a preponderance of the air element, the body curbs the intake of any food. Should there be a preponderance of the water element, the process of elimination increases and manifests itself. And when should there be a preponderance of the earth element, it manifests itself in the aspects of one's sex life, but it does not necessarily express itself through the sex drive in the carnal sense. It can manifest externally, for example, in the elderly, mostly through an urge for increased physical activity or creative work. From the chemical and perhaps the alchemical point of view, the electric and magnetic fluids have in their active and passive polarities the task of forming acid combinations in all organic and inorganic bodies. In the active sense, they are constructive, and in the negative sense, they are decomposing, dissolving, and destructive. This explains the biological function in the body. The total result is a cycle of life. It comes into being, it develops, it matures, and departs. And that is the existence or evolution of everything created. Diet. A reasonable lifestyle has to be adopted in order to maintain the harmony of elements in the body. Should a disharmony occur in the effect of the elements whereby one or another element is predominant or is weakened, then particular measures have to be taken as to as to the intake of nourishment in order to direct the elements into the right channels, or at least to influence them favorably in this respect. That is why various diets are prescribed for specific cases. From time immemorial, even the common man has come to this conclusion through numerous observations without having understood the exact cause. Should the disturbance of the elements be such that this disharmony becomes visible, then you are no longer dealing with a mere disharmony, but with an illness. That means you have to employ more effective remedies in order to reestablish the necessary harmony if you wish to achieve a complete recovery and have the bodily function normally again. All healing methods known to us today are established on this foundation. I refrain from mentioning details in regards to these healing methods, since they are commonly known or available. In general, the naturopath makes use of thermic effects or impacts, such as baths, sits, hand and foot baths, compresses, poultices, herbs, massage, etc. The allopath makes use of concentrated remedies which should call forth the effect corresponding to the elements and should bring about recovery. The homeopath stimulates the opposite element through his healing remedies. Similia, Sibylla, Similibus, Curantur, in order to bring the threatened element back into equilibrium in accordance with its polarity. Through the use of his remedies, the homeopath works directly upon the electric and magnetic fluids in order to equilibrate the element that has fallen into disharmony through proper strengthening of these fluids, all of course in accordance with the kind of ailment in question. In this manner, every healing method serves the purpose of restoring the disturbed equilibrium of the elements. The magnetopath, through the knowledge of the influence of the elements upon our body, has by far a greater possibility to be effective with his energies, especially when he has the ability to consciously awaken the electric or magnetic fluids to intensify and transfer them into the part of the body which has come into disharmony. In this book, I have devoted a special chapter to the practice of this method of treatment. The bodily functions as a whole have been explained in detail. Each body part, besides being influenced by the effects of the analogous elements, is also influenced by a specific element which expresses itself in the polarity of the corresponding body part. It is an interesting fact that in the workplace, in the clock mechanism or movement, in other words, in our mechanism, some organs possess the ability of having the electric fluid flow from the inside to the outside, and the magnetic fluid from the outside to the inside in reciprocity, through which the function of the entire organism is carried out harmoniously and analogously. I'm having such tongue-tied today, sorry. When it comes to other organs, the opposite applies. The electric fluid is effective from the outside to the inside, and the magnetic fluid from the inside to the outside. The knowledge of this polar emanation is known in the Hermetic sciences as the occult anatomy of the body. It is extremely important for every initiate to possess knowledge of the effects of this occult anatomy if he wishes to know, influence, and control his body. Furthermore, I will give an account of the occult anatomy of the human body in regards to the electric and magnetic fluids, that is, in positive and negative spheres of activity. This information will greatly benefit the magnetopath, because he will be able to treat the particular part of the body in accordance with the seat of the disease, either with the electric or the magnetic fluids. However, this knowledge can be of great benefit to everyone as well. The occult anatomy of the body. The occult anatomy of the body. We're going to break this down to different parts. The head. The front part of the head is electric. The back part of the head is magnetic. The right side of the head is magnetic. The left side of the head is electric. The inside of the head is electric. Now this is really cool. If you're try to visualize this, actually. I always thought this part was really cool, but I used to want to be an endocrinologist, so this kind of correlates to that. Okay, so I'm going to start that again. I love this part. Because this also has to do, and maybe on a different further book that we'll cover, or a topic, is how the laying on the hands, like there is qi energy, qigong, Reiki, acupressure and acupuncture. Knowing this occult anatomy of the body is how you can lay on the hands and heal just with your hands, and move the energies and force them out, and we'll get into that, but it's really cool. So I'm just telling you, this part is cool. It's the foundation part, though. So we're going from the head. So the occult anatomy of the body, the head. The front part of the head is electric. The back part of the head is magnetic. The right side of the head is magnetic. Right? The left side of the head is electric. The inside of the head is electric. Now, okay, I want to say this something really quick. I want to explain that. If you remember the magician first tarot card, right? And the just like males are much more electric and females are magnetic, we are receptive, especially the males, you know, sexual organs are a lot more electric, but their heads are much more magnetic. They're drawn to women. They're drawn to women, women's minds. Women's minds are much more electric, but their genitals are much more magnetic, which makes sense, right? A man comes into a woman, right? So that was not done by accident. And this is kind of an explanation of why all of these are. It all has to do with our energies, our electric, electromagnetic and magnetic system. So we fit together, right? So this is the beginning of understanding this. So it's just really, really cool, right? So the right side of the head of it is magnetic. The right brain, right, is all creative, which makes sense. Just like a woman is receptive and a man is out there, a man is forcing him his way into the, you know, hunter and gatherer, going out to get the woman by the hair and drag her to the cave. And a woman creates the nest, invites him into her body, invites her, creates a home for them, and he goes to provide, right? He's the electric energy while she's the receptive magnetic. Well, we are all of that in ourselves. Our right mind, which is all the artistry that we are, that's a magnetic part of our brains. It's receiving. Right? The left side is thinking, so it's active all the time. So that's why I think this is so cool. The front part of our heads is where we talk, and it's where we're doing stuff, right? But the back part is receptive. There's not much going on back there. So, and the inside of the head is always electric, even though a man is more magnetic. And the inside is always electric because we're all thinking. Okay, so I'm going to continue. I love this part. The eyes. The front part of the eyes and the back part, rearward, are neutral. The right side and the left side of the eyes are electric. So the sides of our eyes are electric. The inner part of our eyes is magnetic. Isn't that cool? Because we're receiving information. We're drawing in pictures. Isn't that cool? That's a magnet. It's magnetic. That makes a lot of sense. The mouth, the ears. Okay, so we're down to the ears. The ears. The front part of the ears is neutral. The back part is neutral. The right side is magnetic. And the left side is electric. Interesting. And the inside is neutral. The tongue and mouth. The front part is neutral. The back part of the tongue and the mouth is neutral. The right side is neutral. The left side is neutral. The inside is magnetic. Interesting. It lets things in. Food and other things. So it's just it's a receptive thing, but mostly it's neutral. And yes, it talks a lot, but it still doesn't give out so much. So that would be the brain's electricity coming out through the mouth. If you want to get into the details of it all, but we're not going to go into that now. The neck. The front part of the neck is magnetic. The back part of the neck is magnetic. The right side of the neck is magnetic. The left side of the neck is electric. Interesting. The inside of the neck is electric. Very interesting. The chest. The front part of the chest is electromagnetic. Oh, that's cool, because that's about the heart. The heart is an electromagnetic organ. So the front part of the chest is electromagnetic, which is really cool. The back part is electric. The right side is neutral. The left side is electric. And the inside is neutral. Okay, interesting. The abdomen, the front part, is electric. The back part is magnetic. The right side is magnetic. The left side is electric. The inside is magnetic. The hands. The front part is neutral. The back part is neutral. So your front and back part of your hands are neutral. The left side is electric of your hands. The right side of your hand is a magnetic. The inside is neutral. So we're seeing a lot. The left side is electric of everything. So I think it just goes down that line. If I'm not mistaken, that's the anatomy. The left side is all electric. It goes from the left side down, right side down. The fingers on the right hand. The front, now remember, the right hand is magnetic. The right side of the hands is magnetic. But the fingers on the right hand, the front part and the back part of your fingers are neutral, just like your hands. The right side and the left side are electric. Interesting. And the inside is neutral. The fingers on the left hand, the front part and back part are neutral. The right side and the left side are electric. Okay? The inside is neutral. So those are the same on both sides. The feet. The front part and the back part are neutral. The right side is magnetic. The left side is electric. We're seeing a pattern here. The inside is neutral. The male genitals, the front part is electric. The back part is neutral. And the right and left sides are neutral. The inside is magnetic. Also very interesting. The female genitals, the front part is magnetic. The back part is neutral. And the right and left sides are neutral. The inside is electric. Very interesting. The last vertebrae and the anus. The front part and the back part are neutral, and the right and left sides are neutral. The inside is magnetic. Interesting. On the basis of this occult anatomy, the initiate can compile further analogies with the key of the tetrapolar magnet in accordance with his needs. The alchemist will recognize that from this that the human body is a true athanor, in which the most complete alchemical process, the great work or preparation of the philosopher's stone, visibly takes place. This concludes the chapter on the body. I will not say that I have taken everything into consideration, but I have at least pointed out the most important aspects regarding the elements, the tetrapolar magnet, and I have unveiled the mysteries of the tetragrammaton regarding the physical body. All right, so that is it. That's the end of the human being, the body and all parts of it. So it's been a great time reading this to you. I hope you got something out of it. I know it gets a little bit, this is more the theory, remember, so it gets a little bit, it's a little bulky. It's hard to digest if you've not ever been exposed to this before. It requires a lot of visualization and a lot of kind of understanding of the body and also naturopathy. I used to work at a health food store and wanted to become a naturopathic doctor and an endocrinologist. Those were my two only goals. And I had memorized most of the stuff inside that store. And I read almost every single book in that store. Now, there's a lot of stuff contradicted each other as far as diets go, because everything works, because it's all in your mind. If you believe it works, right? And then there's certain science things that scientifically, you know, if you cut down calories and you give, you know, start burning more calories with exercise, you're going to lose. So, or if you start restricting or limiting. So there's all kinds of different tricks and fun things that you can do for diets. That's why there's so many, and they all work at some capacity. But I've always been pulled to this deeper reason of why we keep our bodies pure and the purification process, and why do we, like, this is my reason when I do go veganism, it's much more like a yogi. Like, there's a reason why most yogis and monks, they go vegan. There's a reason. Because the body, it is a spiritual process. And also, most religions, when they're going through prayer or they are going through a spiritual process, they purify through fasting. The body is a huge lesson. It's a huge teacher to us. And we are slave to appetites and things that we eat and habits of food and habits of lifestyle that, like, we like to call ourselves foodies. But if you limit a lot of that stuff and you really go into, like, I might start another podcast or a YouTube channel that goes over yoga and the different practices and purification rites, because literally it is it's a science for a reason. It is so true. But anyways, we're doing the initiation into the hermetic sciences, but I love the fact that he is a naturopath, and he uses and he brings in the different elements of the body, and it is very true. Our body is the vehicle, and it has all of the same experiences around us. It's going on the inside. So if we take care of our bodies, then we clear out the toxins. The more we clear out our toxins, that's why fasting is so important. You clear out the channel, and like, and your ability to create magic, to hear the voice of God, to hear your own inner voice, the spirit becomes magnetized and electric, and it becomes bigger and clearer. So that was the things of the body. So I really enjoyed this one today. I hope you did too. Obviously, I got super excited about the anatomy part, but yeah, this is literally just he went over very. It's just a scratch on the surface. So it's super cool, but I just know what's coming. So I'm going, you guys have no idea. It gets so much better. But this is just theory stuff, and you got to know the theory in order to make it work. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed today. I rambled a little bit. I'm not sorry. Obviously, I like this stuff. If you are hanging out and listening, thank you. I appreciate you. It is a joy and an honor to hang out with you and read some of my favorite things. It makes me happy. So you guys have a blessed day and create magic. Bye.